This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi everyone. You're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. It's been a while. Today I am happily joined by one of my closest friends, Nanners. Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Rahana, but people call me Nana.
Nice. So it's good to have you on. I've been wanting to have you on the show for a while, but it's only now that our schedules are sort of like lined up. So it's good to, you know, hear your voice.
Thank you.
So today's topic was actually chosen by Nana herself, which is, I don't know exactly how to put it into words. Like, I suppose we're going to be talking about psychology or exactly like how we, like, I guess the how we respond to stressful situations, I suppose, and the science, because I know science for sure and the science behind it. But I was just wondering, like, why, what made you interested in this sort of topic?
Oh, I think because lately I've been experiencing some hardship in my life. So to the point that I deep dive into all these sort of things.
And then
you just come into a conclusion that, oh, I think this is the right topic to talk about.
Yeah. No, actually, no, fair enough. Because it's like sometimes when things are going tough, you react in certain ways and sometimes you don't really understand why you're reacting that way. So it's sort of, it's actually good to be reading about these things or, you know, watching those analysis videos and stuff like that. Cause, I guess it's good to be self-aware of like what sort of coping mechanism that you have. Obviously I won't ask you to go into details about, so what's everything that's traumatizing you right now? That's what we're here for. But I suppose like, what is something that you've noticed about yourself in terms of coping mechanism? Cause I know when I'm like, when I'm in a fight with somebody, I cry.
Okay. That's enough. That's fair enough. Okay.
I'm not very good with people like yelling at me. Like it, I guess I just like, I freeze up. But that's like, that's just me. What about you? If someone's yelling at you, how is your reaction?
Oh, because I used to cry as well. But after I realized about psychology, I realized that people sometimes yelling at you, it's just sometimes it's all about them sometimes.
Yeah.
The projection from them. So sometimes I pause a little bit because before this, I'm same with you. I will freeze and I will just cry, right? But after I learn more, I just, oh, maybe this is just about them. And I just pause before reacting and it somehow changed a lot.
No, that's actually good. I think a lot of the times when it comes to arguments or like saving relationships, it's just really taking a moment to breathe. So I think you got that like down pat. At least that's the advice that I hear a lot, right? Because when you're having an argument with someone, you're obviously feeling attacked or your emotions are running high, you're really tense, you know, you're like locking up all your joints and things like that. You're not really thinking, you're just acting on instinct. So just that taking that moment to breathe really does like, you know, relax your muscles and make you think, like, what I'm about to say, is that really going to help the like the situation or is it only going to make it worse? And can you take back what you're going to say? That sort of thing.
I think I just realized like how powerful your words are and you can't really take back. So I think I've been, because I've been to therapy before. I think before, because before this, I'm so emotional and I'm so reactive. And then I was like, oh, and I think every action I have is driven by anxiety. So
real.
So I think, oh, because I got prescribed a medicine and after I took it, like everything just slowed down around me. Like like, no cap.
No, fair enough. Sometimes we need those things to, like, I guess to process, because we don't realize that we're doing something differently until somebody else points it out to you.
Yeah.
And feel free to not answer, by the way, but I'll just, like, ask. When you got prescribed your medication, you said things sort of slowed down for you, right?
Mm.
Is that, like, how has that changed for you? Like, has it made you feel better about yourself in the day-to-day, or is it too different and you don't really like it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at first, it's kind of unfamiliar for me,
mm-hmm.
because I think the state of being anxious the whole time, and my therapist said, oh, you have to pause before you react.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very unfamiliar for me. And I think at that time, I tried to shape my new habit, which is, it's kind of uncomfortable at the time. So it's crazy when I try to be more calm at the time.
Right.
Everything just like, I still remember when I take my time, go to Sabah, and then I still remember when I was on the board, and then I was zoning out the whole time, because I don't know how to react at that time. I was like, I was just go around and saying that, and seeing like, how should I react right now?
Yeah, yeah.
And to that point, I still remember that one tourist asked me, hey, are you okay? Why you look like so scary? I was like, oh, I don't realize it. And I mean, right now when I realized that deep breathing technique is so powerful.
Yeah.
Before this, I always underestimate. I was like, bro, it's just breathing. It's not that deep.
It's not that deep, bro.
And there's a technique between like, oh, the inhale is like a 2 second. And the exhale is longer than inhale.
Yeah.
And it works every time I feel anxious.
Yeah.
So it getting better, because you said before that habits gonna shape after 20 days, right?
30 days.
So right now, yeah. I feel comfortable with myself.
That's good.
And
that's good.
It's kind of natural for me. Love for me.
I think you've got the hardest part down. Like, because for me, I think this is true for a lot of people. Taking that first step in change, no matter what it is, whether it is trying to take a moment to breathe, or whether it's trying to, you know, start exercising or start a new class or start a new job, that first step is always the hardest. It's the biggest leap, you could say. Mm. And then after that, you can take small, consistent steps, and it just becomes progressively easier. But that first part is always like, that's where a lot of people fail. Mm. So the fact that we're here in the first place and we're talking about it is already, I think, a major step forward. if we're going with the metaphor. it's good to hear that the breathing techniques are working and things, because I know when I'm like, because I'm studying theater, one of the things that we do before we start a show, or before we even start like rehearsals, is like, you know, stretches and breathing exercises and stuff. So I do know for sure that whenever I'm feeling like stage fright, that the breathing technique, inhale, exhale for longer, it's just closing your eyes while you're doing it is just so, so much better as well. Like, because I feel like when my eyes are open, I'm too aware of the other people that's around me.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah. I know a common response that people have to, like, stress is, like, anger, right? Like, people tend to, like, yell out and stuff like that. If someone was reacting angrily and you're trying to stay calm and things like that, what is the best way you reckon to respond in a situation like that?
I think because you can't really play anger with the anger.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you are under control in your emotion, you are under control in everything. So try to neutralize whenever someone pour the anger towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yeah, it's just about them. And then, yeah, try to be as rational as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think by staying rational, you've already won like half the battle, right? Because that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just like during situations of arguing. What if you're in a high, you know, stress situation, but you're by yourself? Like, your stress isn't caused by another person. Maybe your stress is caused by like work or like an assignment. If you're stressed over an assignment, what is your usual like?
Is that coping mechanism?
Coping tactics.
Oh, my coping tactics. Okay, this sounds a little bit weird, but
no, give me the unhinged version. I want to know.
Okay, I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna dance. I'm sorry.
No, what? No, don't apologize. That's so funny.
Like a Brazilian dance. Okay, that's cringe.
No, but why? Like, how does that help you? Oh, I'm genuinely curious.
Because I read that if you move your body, you regulated all your nervous system, and you know that lead to stress is your cortisol, right?
Yeah.
So I think because before this I always pressure whenever I have exam to that point I can't really enjoy the process. I can't really enjoy the information that I digest at the time because I'm too attached that I just studying this just because of exam, and as soon as I finish my exam I just forgot all these things.
No, for real.
Yeah. And then when I realized, hey, I'm doing this for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this just for, I mean, I try to shift my perspective. Oh, exam is just for me because this chemistry paper, eventually I'm going to teach it. So why not I just enjoy it right now?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow it changed to from stress to enjoyment, you know. Yeah, then I read that you always have to stay curious. So it's going to lead to enjoyment for you.
Yeah.
Just try to shift your perspective as much as you can do. There's nothing you can do.
Because I think the worst thing you can do is sort of like dig yourself mindlessly forward to the point that you're like blinded as to the real purpose of what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Falling into routine. Okay, routine isn't necessarily bad. I guess falling into like a monotonous, lifeless routine, when it's just like, okay, you need to shake things up a bit. While for me, when I'm studying, I don't dance. I do something similar.
What is it?
Like, when I'm studying, I'm like, oh, I'm actually like cooked. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea what the frick is going on, right? As soon as I reach that point, I stand up. I don't dance, but I do walk around the room. You know, I look at the vending machines, look at how overpriced they are. And I do like a running commentary in my head. And then I look at the other people studying and then I like, not laugh at them, but kind of like, I'm like, haha, you're studying just like me. So I'm not alone in suffering.
Yeah.
I go like, sometimes I'm studying in the business school. So I go down the stairs or I go up the stairs just to waste some time. Like you say, to regulate the nervous system, you know, get out those like jitters. And then I sit down and I'll probably work for 5 minutes and then I'll stand up and walk around again. And it might not be the most efficient method, but it's the method that works for me. And that's how I get my assignments done. Mm-hmm. Because usually when I'm doing my assignments, they're like all-nighters.
Yeah.
So there's not really anybody around. So
yeah, okay.
That's the way I do it.
Oh, and then because I have ADHD, so I can't really concentrate even like for 30 minutes. So what I did is like, I promised myself only 10 minutes, I have to focus.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome is, after 10 minutes, I still want to keep going.
So this is
a technique.
Yeah. And you have to lie to yourself.
And then I think stressful and mentally burnt out coming from you are too overwhelming. Because so I just learned that you have to chunking and break into pieces so you not really feel overwhelmed. And yeah, you can enjoy it actually.
Speaking of burnout, have you ever experienced burnout personally? Because I know you're quite a bright student. You're a scholarship student, correct? So has the like pressure of studying like ever gotten to you? And what do you do when you want to study but you just can't anymore because you're burnt out? You got nothing in the tank, you know?
Mm-mm.
What do you do?
Oh, I used to mentally burn out all the time. And I think take a 10 minutes running helps a lot. Move your body, please.
What?
Move your body, please.
For those of you who don't know, I absolutely despise running. The thing is, I understand the biological benefits of it.
Mm.
I just, every time I run, I feel like I'm dying. I'm so unfit. Yeah. Like, it's so bad. I do like walks. Even then, though, I can only walk for like 5 minutes.
But I think, to be fair, all-nighters is such a way to torturing yourself, please. Because sleep is the way you recover your memory.
That is true.
Yeah. So
all-nighters isn't good, but it's also the staple of a natural university student life.
So don't do it. Please. I concern
no,
about you.
No, I don't do it any... Okay, well, not really. That's really? A lie. Okay, I don't do it as much because I'm employed now, so I, I have work in the morning, so I can't do it. But you know what's interesting, actually? Because, well, this isn't quite psychology, but it's biology, mm-hmm. right? I remember as a teenager going in high school, I would drink, like... I was a huge fan of energy drinks. Like, but I wasn't, like, drinking every day. Maybe I'd have 2 energy drinks a week. But I was still, like, a really big fan of it. Like, mm-hmm. I would drink... I drink quite a lot, right? And I could handle it fine or whatever. But then I went through a period where I just didn't drink any energy drinks because I knew it was unhealthy and I wanted to change. And I, you know, got out of the habit. So I only really drank energy drinks during, like, you know, desperate times so that I could really feel the kick of caffeine. However, something changed as I grew up. What? I can't handle caffeine anymore.
Oh.
Like, back then, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm drinking energy drinks for the taste. Like, it doesn't actually give me all that effect, like the caffeine effect of keeping you awake or giving you energy. Not really, that I noticed anyway. But now it's like, the other day, I was drinking milk coffee, like the iced milk coffee, the one that you get from the market, and it had barely any caffeine in it. And I was so jittery and so, like, I hated it. Like, I felt nauseous because I drank that coffee on an empty stomach because I'm an idiot.
And then?
And I'm just like, so I, even when I am, like, in desperate times, I, like, really rarely do I drink energy drinks anymore because when I do, it's like, it will affect me for the next 3 days. Like, it'll affect my sleep and stuff. So I just think it's interesting how my body has, you know, changed to adapt with my habits, I suppose. And I just, the reason why I'm saying this story in the first place is that I suppose I'm just wondering, has there been any change in your life, habits-wise, that now, like later, has affected you, whether that's positively or badly? So from the habits that you've formed, have you noticed any changes?
Yeah, basically, I've been read this quote about until you make unconscious conscious, mm-hmm. you will directly call it fate and it will direct your life. It means like, I noticed that before this, I react from anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. So everything around me is just not falling to places. So after I try to change, maybe for me, a better habit, I think more opportunity that came to me, it's different from before this.
Right.
Yeah. So everything just going wrong from your reaction, actually, from your habits, from your action. I think it's just crazy how it just changed from how you react.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really believe before this. I feel like, oh, that's nonsense. That's BS. But, oh my God, that's right, that everything just comes from belief, mm-hmm. and everything in your internal gonna reflect on your body. I mean, the way you carry yourself, it just subconsciously just change.
This is a conversation that we've had before, but it's good to have this on air as well. But like the whole thing about like talking to yourself in the mirror and telling yourself good things.
Yep.
Wake up in the morning, even if you're laughing, even if you're like cringing at yourself, go and be like, You're hot, babe. Like, you're confident, please. You're gorgeous, you're smart. And, like, you don't have to do it seriously, too. Like, you don't have to, like, you're smart. You don't have to do that. You can, like, laugh about it. You can be sarcastic about it. As long as you say it out loud. And you do that for 30 days. After that, you'll notice, maybe you won't believe that you're literally, like, a supermodel. Maybe not. Yeah. But you won't, like... You won't look at your negative traits or what you perceive to be negative traits as much, you know? And I think that's, like, really important because in high school, I used to be so insecure. That isn't to say I'm not insecure now. But, like, it was, you know, typical teenage debilitating insecurity, right? But, like, after I had, like, had this habit of, like, trying to talk positively to myself, I'm just like, yeah, I've got my insecurities there, but it's not so big. Like, it's not blocking my vision. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just in the corner where I, like, yeah, I notice every once in a while, but it's easier to ignore. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say this is a lot of us have self-deprecating speak, right? Mm. And I guess it's like normal. We do it every once in a while and it's not a big deal. Like, for example, I called myself an idiot before, but I didn't actually mean it. But that doesn't change anything because I still said it, right? If you say yourself every day, every time you mess up, you're going to be like to yourself, even if it's in your head, you're going to be like, oh, you're a piece of, like, you're a piece of poo. Like, stop. Like, why are you doing this? You're so useless. If you say that all the time, you're going to start believing it, even if you're going to say it sarcastically, right? It's just how it works. Our brain adapts to repetition. That's why we say things positively.
Yeah. Because the repetition itself is going to be habit eventually, right? So, yeah, I did as well because before this, I have very, very low self-esteem. I don't really have a confidence. But the thing is, I don't realize that I'm not confident until someone point out to me, no, I think you have a lot of potential. You're just not confident. So I was like, oh, I was like, oh, yeah. And then every time I wake up, I was like, oh, I'm just confident. Just do it. Just show up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can lose, though. I mean, just do it. Everything, you learn something from that. Yeah. Just give it a try.
Yeah. It's all about shifting perspective. It's all about giving things a go and making yourself comfortable enough to try new things. I know that sounds like a little bit of, I don't know if I'm using this right. It sounds a little bit of an oxymoron. Like, oh, you have to be comfortable enough to get out of your comfort zone. But it's like, I'm not telling you to go bungee jumping if that's not something you want to do. Like, you don't have to do that. But maybe, like, you know, go out to like a hotel and go sightseeing or something on the fifth floor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go straight to the extreme side of things. It's all about the mindset, bro. It's all about mindset, you know, psychology. chill, bro, chill. But like, yeah, it's just it's these small steps. Like, I heard one of my theater lecturers, she had given us this advice on how to make us feel like our character, or how to make us like I was gonna say chonto this. For example. For example, if I'm going on stage and I'm playing a character who's confident, but me myself as an actress, I'm not confident. How do I portray that confidence? Right. So they said to change something about what you're wearing. That is noticeable to you, but not noticeable to other people. Because if you know it, just knowing that will change your behavior to other people and to the world around you. So she used the example of she had to play a character who was like disgusting, right? Like a horrible person, wasn't nice, just really grumpy all the time. So what she said was, so she went to a shop and she bought like these really, really ugly pair of underwear. Like, it was like grandma underwear. It was really uncomfortable. It was cheap. It was scratchy. And she just wore it underneath. But and then she had her normal costume on. Just knowing that she was wearing that, she felt gross. She felt like an old lady. She was able to, you know, feel that a little bit more. Now, if you're playing somebody confident, and this isn't just in terms of, like, obviously I'm talking theater-wise, right? Playing a literal character. But this can be applied to real life as well. If you want to be a little bit more confident in yourself, wear something that makes you feel confident. Wear something that you wouldn't usually, but it doesn't have to be daring. Like, you don't have to go outside and wear like a freaking like medieval gown, but you can go outside, maybe wear your favorite necklace, you know, wear that favorite pair of like, or that really nice skirt that you've been saving for that special occasion, but you just haven't had, you know, the right chance yet. You know, for me, if I want to feel confident, I wear high heels. I love heels. It's not practical in Dunedin, bloody slippery Dunedin. Like, it's not practical at all. But like, if I'm feeling particularly low and I want to be confident, wear high heels for me. What for you, Nana? What do you think would be the item of clothing that would help you, you know, feel a little bit more yourself, feel a little bit more grounded, cooler, hotter?
Before this, I don't really care about my appearance. I feel like, oh, as long as I'm comfortable, I can wear a crumpled
What's a crumple? What?
It's like,
crumpled shirt. Yeah.
Crumpled shirts. And I just genuinely don't care. And everyone around me was like, Nana, you're so sloppy.
No, and, for real though, comfort is fine though.
Actually, yeah. I mean, if you want to, I'm not trying to be respected. I mean, like, you have to respecting your body enough. I mean, right now, I was very particular what I put on my body, what I said about myself, because subconsciously, it's going to change how you're going to act. And it's real. So 100%. Right now, I'm very, I will wear the clothes that I think it's fashionable enough. I mean, I'm not trying to fit in to be like a very overly consumer. It's just what makes me happy. Because I think if you're confident enough, the way you talk people, the way you talk to people is different. And then, yeah.
No, for sure.
Why not?
I think you stumbled upon like such an interesting and important topic, actually, and I kind of want to address that for a second, because you were talking about, you know, quote unquote being sloppy and stuff like that, and then I said, oh, it's okay to be comfortable. It's actually really interesting how thin of a line it is between self-care and self-harm.
Yeah,
let me explain. Sometimes you don't want to wear makeup. You don't want to do your hair. You just want to be in sweatpants. You just want to, you know, wear a hoodie, and that's fine. That's being comfortable. That's being you. That's being real. That's fine. But there's also that really fine difference between that and I'm so tired all the time. I don't have energy to wear makeup. I don't have the time. I'm just going to put on a hoodie because on the floor because it's the first thing I see or whatever. My room's not clean or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, both look like they're the same. They're both dressed the same way. But the motivation behind it is different. And I think that is something that a lot of us need to be aware of. Why are you making the decisions that you're making? Is it coming from a place of, I just want to be comfortable, or is it coming from a place of, I don't have the energy to do this because I don't have the energy for anything in my life anymore? And if you're aware that that is something that you're starting to do, you know, go out, like, you know, and get some help, you know, talk to your friends, you know, do something to like change your habits, you know, and I guess shock you awake out of this monotonous routine.
I think, and then I realized before this, my routine is just under autopilot, you know. So there's one point I feel like, what's the purpose of my life? And I think I start romanticizing my life. Maybe it sounds dramatic, but that what makes me want to wake up every day, you know.
No, so fair. That's good. You are just the main character of your own life. Yeah. And if that works for you, then that works for you. Sometimes I like to listen to songs and I pretend like I'm the main character.
Yeah, that's good.
Video, you know, and that's fine. If that's what it takes for me to actually go to class, that's what I'll do, you know. And nobody's going to judge you. Why? Yeah. Because nobody knows. Like, you're just doing it. Everyone else, trust me, everyone is doing the same thing. I'm sure a lot of listeners, like right now, you guys are thinking, yeah, I do that too. Yeah. And there's nothing to be ashamed of, you know. Yeah. And if you think about it, right? Trying is obviously really hard because it's really vulnerable.
Yeah.
But it's also the thing that you have to do in order to get to where you want to be. Like, if you think about all the successful people that you look up to right now, like, let's talk about, like, doctors, or if we talk about celebrities, or, like, lawyers and stuff like that, right? They weren't always well in their field, experts in their field, or they weren't always well known to people, right? Like, for example, if you think about Ryan Gosling, he's obviously like a big actor right now, right? But once upon a time, he was just some theater kid who was doing cringe exercises in classes or something. You know, he had to go through that period between like being a tryhard and then being successful, where he had no followers, but he had to take these like cringe roles and stuff like that. He had to do all these things and had people say, okay, bro, you think you're a celebrity or whatever. So like, don't listen to that. Like, you're going to be opening yourself up to criticism, but you have to get past that in order to be successful. So if you guys want to try something, whether that's being an influencer or trying to be a professional baker or trying to be a doctor, where you have to open yourself up to possibly failing your exam and, you know, all those things, you have to just get, well, I guess get over it sounds bad, but like, you have to get past that in order to be where your idols are, I suppose.
Yeah, I think people should romanticize more about trying harder. It's okay to try hard. I think people too scared to look like they're trying hard because it's not cool for them.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, trying to meant to be hard because you're just not used to it. At some point, it's going to be natural for you.
Yeah.
And it's coming from trying hard at first.
Yeah. And yeah, like it's probably going to be cringe. Like if like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like an example. Like let's say I'm an actor, right? And like I want to try and like act and I like have my first show and nobody, there's like three people in the audience. Like yeah, it's not cringe. It's just like a little bit difficult. It's not the outcome that you had hoped it would be. Or maybe you're trying to write a book. Mm. So you publish a book online. Only 10 people read it. One of them is a hate comment. One of them is a bot. You know, yeah. And telling you to follow their Instagram or whatever, right? Like, yeah, it's going to be like, oh, okay, this is so cringe. Like, I can't believe I did this, you know, whatever. But, like, everyone has to start somewhere.
It's fine.
You know? You'll just have to keep uploading, you know, your stories, or you just have to keep writing. You'll just have to keep acting. You'll just have to keep making videos, all these things. And then eventually get to a point where other people are looking to you and being like, I want to be just like them.
Yeah, sorry.
Mindset.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to laugh at you until you make it. Mm-hmm. So why would you listen?
And even when you make it, people still laugh at you. Like, let's say, like, because I already brought up Ryan Gosling. You think people don't laugh at him, bro? Like, you know, people don't like him. People don't like Margot Robbie or something. I just forgot all the actors' names for some reason. Like, there's always going to be haters in your life. But, you know, haters going to hate.
This is going to hate.
Lovers going to love.
That's why they are haters, because they're such a loser. Because they can only see at people life and they just love at him.
Yeah.
Why
do you think, psychology, but like, why do you think that happens? Why do you think haters like to hate so much?
I think because they can't really get what people willing to try, mm-hmm. and they just, because projecting is easy. Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why they did it.
You're right. It's totally 100% easy. But also I think a lot of people like to be negative and dogging on other people because there's something missing in their own life.
Yeah.
You know, they're unhappy. They're unsuccessful in whatever venture that they're doing, and they don't want to see you rise. Mm. So they want to drag you down with them.
Yeah.
I guess my advice is just don't let them do that. Mm. You know, obviously easier said than done.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just next time you're in a conflict with somebody, or next time somebody's just being such a hater, I guess like take a moment to breathe. But also ask yourself, why are they doing this?
Mm-mm.
They're probably really unhappy, really insecure about something one way or another. Mm. But yeah, I guess, yeah. Because if you think about the trolls that you see online on the internet, right? Mm. Like the, oh, this video sucks.
Mm.
My mom could do better. I don't know. If you look at, like, there are probably some, like, 30-year-old unemployed person, like, yeah, living in their parents' basement or something. You know what I mean? Like, why are you taking advice? Why are you crying over some loser's opinion that doesn't matter? Like, because they don't know you, you know? Mm. So, yeah.
Mm, yeah. Because I've been that face. I'm stuck between where's the real constructive feedback, mm-hmm. and what's it just coming from a real loser though.
Yeah.
So there's one phase that I just take every feedback. So at one point I feel like I shouldn't take and consume every feedback, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So right now I'm kind of good having the art of discernment, the ability to judge which one is the constructive feedback or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. Cause you know that saying like, I'm brutally honest.
Mm-mm.
Not all honesty is brutal. I think even what I mean by that is you're choosing to be brutally honest because you don't care about the words that you say. This is a little bit of a hot take. I think a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but I think like, yeah, there will be some truths that's going to be very difficult for you to tell your friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, let's say you want to tell your friend, bro, like your breath like really stinks, right? Like, for example, it's going to be really hard to say that to your friend without them like feeling hurt, right? Yeah. So someone who is brutally honest would just be like, bro, your breath stinks. Like, it's rancid. Maybe some friendships can do that, but I'm just talking in a scenario where you wouldn't do that, right? Mm. If you really cared about your friend and the words that you're saying, you would put it in a more kinder way. You would say, oh, like, you know, I actually don't know how to say it, but like, you know, like, you know, I mean this in the best possible way, but like, you know, I think you should like, you know, maybe try some chewing gum or something, like, and like, no offense, totally no offense, or like, maybe you don't even have to say anything at all, you know, you can just be like, take out some chewing gum and be like, hey, you want one? Tactics. But what I'm saying is, you don't just go out like guns blazing, you know what I mean? You don't just slap them in the face with the insult. Well, not the insult, because it could be something. It could be something that they're insecure about, you know? Mm-mm. You know, just be gentle with it. Mm-mm. That's why I don't like people who are like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't take it. I'm just being brutally honest. No, you're just being mean. You just like being mean. Because, I don't know. But yeah, that's my hot take. I know a lot of people disagree, but yeah.
I agree, please.
But it's all in the mind, I suppose, and with your relationships and how you choose to care about other people. I want to know your tactics, Nana. If you were had to, you know, in a situation where you had to tell your friend something that they probably didn't want to hear, like for example, your breath stinks. How would you say that to them?
Oh, okay. I used to be so brutally honest. But okay.
Nana.
Sorry. I am the type of person actually. I am, but I just realized when people did that things to me, I don't like it. So I just, actually just mean. So maybe for now, if someone have a really, really stink breath, I would say, hey, I concerned about you. What? Have you brushed your teeth today?
Hey, are you okay? Have you been, you know, drinking water? You know, have you been taking care of yourself? Do you want some toothpaste?
I mean, they know that it's coming from a place of love.
All right. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. Yeah. I really, really appreciate you coming on and, you know, spending some time with me and talking about this, talking about the different states of psychology, how to, you know, shift perspective and ground yourself in moments of stress and things like that. I was just wondering if you had any last final parting words, or if you wanted to promote your Instagram, or you know, shout out to anybody. This is your time to shine.
Oh yeah, okay. You guys can follow me on Instagram, which is Rehana_Haman, and I'm doing some running stuff. I hope you guys enjoy.
Fun. Okay, awesome. Just before we hit off, I understand that I didn't put like a song break in the middle of this, but I because the conversation was just too good. But I still had a song picked out for today, so I'm going to run that out. I'm going to run that now at the end. And it's Scream by Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. And while it doesn't exactly like, it doesn't totally line up with what we're talking about in this episode, I do, if you like pay attention to the lyrics, it's basically like talking about like all this external stuff, these pressures and things like that, that these external contributors that make you want to scream, essentially, right? You know, stop telling me what to do, stop telling me all these things, and stop controlling my life, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, to the point that you want to scream, you want to break things, you want to explode. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I don't know, I think a lot of us have at least one point in our life experienced that. So I hope you guys enjoy. As usual, #... Free Palestine.
Oh, yeah.
Free Sudan. Free Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And please pay attention to what's going on in the news. Don't forget to register to vote, by the way, guys. This is election year. What else? Boycott Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Disney, Starbucks. Awesome. All right.
Yep, thank you, Asha.
Bye.
Bye-bye, see ya.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.